Today with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1 with Allcare Pharmacy. Discover a healthcare team that's always here for you at Allcare Pharmacy, Ireland's largest community pharmacy network.
Email todaycb at rte.ie.
Children across Afghanistan returned to school last month as the new academic year got underway, but teenage girls remained absent as Taliban authorities continued to enforce a ban on their education. The ban on girls' secondary education came into effect in March last year, just hours after the Education Ministry reopened schools for both girls and boys. Afghanistan is the only country in the world where girls are prohibited from going to secondary school. To talk more about this, I'm joined on the line by journalist and columnist with Foreign Policy magazine, Lynn O'Donnell. And I'm also joined by Gesu Yari, who's project director with Afghan Voices of Hope. Thank you both for joining us this morning. Gesu, can I start with you? It's a fairly depressing situation. The Taliban claim it's a temporary measure, and they say that schools will reopen for teenage girls when a suitable environment is found. But how likely is that to happen?
Thank you. It's really great to be back with you in discussing this issue. I think 2022 was a really depressing year for women in Afghanistan and also women who are in exile and living in different countries. I don't think it's likely that they will open the schools. The different engagements through the donor communities in different countries with the Taliban show that they are not having any interest, and they don't have an internal agreement to decide to reopen schools in Afghanistan. So that the chances are really low, although there are different, you know, raising awareness, advocacy, and different diplomatic conversations going on between the Taliban. The chances are very low. Even if they will decide to open schools, I think changing the curriculum and, you know, having that safe space is very concerning, because we don't know what does that really mean. And it's not really clarified from the Taliban what safe spaces means for women to attend school.
Mm-hmm. Well, Lynn, I was looking at a BBC report about this, which included quotes from some young girls around the age of 15 and 16. And they say they fear that global outrage over the fact that they're not allowed to go to school is fading, even though they live with the pain of this every single day. And what we're looking at here is a whole generation of women who will be left without a secondary school education.
Exactly.
You don't know how many generations of Afghan girls and women will be affected by this, because we don't know how long it's going to go on. The Taliban are not facing any consequences for their abuses of women, but not only women. People across, you know, former police worked for the Republic, Hazaras, Shia, Sikhs, Hindus, everyone who is not them is subject to some level of abuse. But the world has, you know, people outside, especially in the West, has limited bandwidth for ongoing abuses that happen anywhere in the world. And at the moment, we're pretty well consumed with what's happening in Ukraine. And I think that what's happening with the Taliban is that they're very assiduously using their abuses of women to hide what else they are doing. They're the biggest drugs dealing cartel in the world. They are doing illegal deals with China and Pakistan. They are raping the country of its mineral resources. But what gets the headlines is women, and what the world is not doing anything about is making the Taliban realise that there are consequences for their actions, because so far there aren't.
Mm-hmm. And Gesu, what have you heard from your contacts in Afghanistan about efforts being made to reverse the Taliban's ban? Is it possible to engage with the Taliban on this issue?
I think there are different opinions on this. The contacts I have in the country, we had a recent campaigner, Mateo Law, we saw, who was focusing a lot on the rural areas, who were advocating and trying to talk to elders and different councils around the world to raise awareness and make sure that parents, especially fathers, are allowing their girls to go to school so that these elders could negotiate with the Taliban to open schools. My contacts basically say, unfortunately, Mateo Law we saw was also arrested about a week ago because of the work he did, and also because he had a recent visit to Brussels. And he started having conversations with the Western world and other educational activists. So looking at that situation and looking at what women are facing and coping on the ground, and the one that I am talking to, and women's rights activists and different movements, in the past 16 months, I'm going to give you an average of 12 movements that are shaped by women activists on the ground. Six of them survived. The rest, at least six of them, are decreased and they're not existing due to limitations. So if we are not having those civic space, you know, if we are not having any sort of funding for these organizations, it'll be extremely challenging to challenge the Taliban on the ground. So they are basically limiting everybody so that they will not challenge them on the decisions that they are making. In addition, last year we saw a lot of professors and teachers who revolted against the Taliban, basically resigned from their works. They wanted to join the movement in the country. All of them, and most of them, are under threat right now, and they are hidden around in different provinces, unfortunately, around the country, because they just, you know, questioned the Taliban's decisions, because they wanted to support women in the country.
Okay, well, we will keep reporting on this issue, and we hope to speak to you again, Gaysu Yari from Afghan Voices of Hope, and also Lynn O'Donnell, who's a journalist and columnist with Foreign Policy magazine. Elaine Byrne will be with us shortly on the programme 51551 for questions on wills and probate.
Text 51551 today with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1.